Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
Welcome to the show, the Dynasty Show, Tuesday night. Hammer in the building.
Goddamn right.
What's up, Hammer?
You know, I used to say living the dream, but I feel like that I'd be lying to people if I said I was living the dream. But nah, everything's good, man. I can't complain too much. Just following some NFL news, nothing too crazy. That's pretty much it, bro.
Yeah, I mean, we got some news that came out. We had the combine that just came out. So, you know, a lot of talk there about that. We'll do a rookie draft a little later on in the show. I'll send out the link later. So just stay in the chat. But, yeah, I mean, I guess first things first, you know, we're answering questions. We're talking about the news, and then we'll start getting into kind of combine and the rookie draft. But I mean, Hammer, tell us what's happening. What's some of the latest news? I guess give us one topic and we'll talk about it.
Actually, I actually got a couple of topics. But the first one, obviously, the big Russell Wilson news dropped that, you know, he was officially released. We kind of saw this coming. But now that they've officially done it, there's some interesting parameters around it where, like, the Broncos are on the hook for his salary. So a team can sign him basically for the veteran minimum, and he's still going to make whatever it is, $39, $40 million this year from the Broncos. So when you look at it from that standpoint, he could be a real value to some teams that are a quarterback they feel like away, or at least a stabilizing quarterback away. So, and when you look at Russell Wilson's production last year, if you start to take a little bit of a decent dive on it, like, he was pretty solid, like, not overwhelming in terms of yardage and stuff like that. But if you were to tell me the Atlanta Falcons had Russell Wilson's production last year, they don't win that division.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, you know what I mean? So you're telling me if the Pittsburgh Steelers had Russell Wilson's production last year, that they're not, they don't have a better record. Now, I know they made the playoffs, and I didn't think they were going to beat Buffalo anyway, but they would be better. You know what I mean? So, obviously, those are some of the teams. And then most recently, he's being linked to the Raiders, which kind of makes some sense when you think about it. So, it's a really interesting, like we saw this coming, but now that it's official, there's teams that I think will be trying to explore Russell Wilson. And the fact that he's going to virtually get the veteran minimum, I think, is the biggest key here. Because if you had to pay Russell Wilson, you know, market value, I think the market would be a lot softer, for Russell Wilson. So I think he'd be a good value. And I was actually watching the Michael Kay show up here in New York, and they said that, like, the Giants could take a run at Russell Wilson, draft a wide receiver at 6, and maybe get, you know, some offensive line help in there. Daniel Jones is the backup for 1 year, and then they're off the hook for Daniel Jones money. They're off the hook for Russell Wilson money. And then if they could move into the back end of the first round and take a Bo Nix as a project, like, that, those sort of things, I mean, that were floated around.
We all knew it was a bad idea to give Daniel Jones that money. Like, we all knew it. I don't know how the fuck they didn't know it, but
I feel like they didn't have any reasonable alternative.
Yeah, you know, sign, I mean? Saquon was the alternative.
I get it, you know, and so it'll be really interesting to see what the Russell Wilson, I don't want to call it sweepstakes because it's not that, but the Russell Wilson market I'm really interested to see. I do think at the end of the day, he does go to Vegas because that Vegas makes the most sense.
Yeah.
And also, too, you were factoring in the other quarterback movement as well, right? The rookies that are coming in, yeah. Justin Fields trade, Kirk Cousins, like all those different things.
Now, let's stay on that Vegas for a second. If he does go to Vegas, does that give them more inclination to sign Jacobs now at that point? Like, are you kind of going in a little bit? You got an older Devontae. Like, does that give better chance of them going at, of trying to keep Jacobs at that point?
You can make the argument both ways, but I think the fact that it's a running back makes it a little more lean. Like, I think they're just looking at the running back situation in a vacuum. Now, if it was Devontae Adams, they'd be more inclined to sign Devontae Adams if they go after Russell Wilson. Like, if Devontae was in that situation, I think it would mean more to a Devontae Adams or a Jacoby Myers or, you know, a stud tight end if they had one. I do like Michael Mayer, but, you know, so I think it would be mean more. But because it's a running back, I don't really think it moves the needle as far as Josh Jacobs goes just because of the position. You know, they have Zamir White, who played pretty well in Josh Jacobs' absence. They could dip back into the draft, or they can sign a cheaper guy like we talked about in our running back videos. That and I feel like we always bring it back to the running back anytime we talk about any of the, you know, anything moving. Yeah. So no, to answer your question directly, I don't think it directly correlates to Vegas re-signing Josh Jacobs. Now, would it help if you had Russell Wilson, Josh Jacobs, Jacoby Myers, and Devontae Adams with a young Michael Mayer? I kind of like that. You know what I mean?
I do.
And too. And you got Antonio Pierce, kind of got those boys moving. So I do like that combination if all those pieces come together like that.
Yeah, for sure. What's good to the chat? Philip, what up, Philip? Huss in the building. What up, Huss?
Yes, sir.
Hustling Bruce, good evening. Would you trade the 1-1 and the 204 for Chase and the 3-8 Superflex PPR? Also, he has the 107.
I would like to see what the rest of the team, his team looks like. I want to see.
You don't need a quarterback, starters, I'm guessing. If right? You're considering this, you don't need a quarterback, I would guess, right?
And we've seen a lot of Chase being had. Like
Chase is available. I'm okay paying this. This is not bad. You're paying the 1-1, you're paying the 2-4, you're getting back a 3-8. Like, that's not a crazy big deal, but you're getting something back. You still have the 1-7, so you still have something that you can do with that. I mean, now you've kind of seen, now that we just had the you know, the combine, some of those late firsts are a little more valuable now, right? Those second round picks are a little more valuable. There's a lot of guys that people like. There's a big kind of like second round tier that's kind of formed, and even into the third round now, because it's pushing some of the running backs down. We've got some wide receivers that people are liking. So, you know, there's a lot going on. So, yeah, I'm okay with paying that for Chase. I'll take Chase. You know, you could make the argument and say, listen, I'll just take Marvin at the 1-1 and then at the 2-4, like, I have another piece. But listen, Chase is the, you know, is the proven thing. Like, I'm absolutely fine going to get Chase here. I don't think it's that expensive what you're paying, so I'm good with that, because you could still get possibly an Odunze or a Bowers at the 107 too, or a quarterback at that point too, like maybe a JJ McCarthy, depending what happens. It seems like the NFL is really liking him, so it's going to be interesting what's going to happen, you know, early on in the draft.
Yeah, I'm okay with this too. And we had a similar kind of situation where somebody was trading, I think, the 101 or the 102 for Chase and something like that. And I think they had the 104 in that previous trade. So I do like it. Obviously, in a vacuum, I like it. Anytime you get in Chase, the proven commodity, and he's still incredibly young, and he's going to get paid very, very soon by the Cincinnati Bengals. So yeah, give me Chase, and with the 107, that's still valuable in a super flex. So I do like you being able to go out there, get the hammers that we like to talk about, and then figure out the rest.
Kev in the building. What up, Kev? Waited all week for you guys. No, we waited for you, Kev.
I wish my wife would tell me that. I waited all week for you. Kev, you make my Tuesday evening special, Kev. Shout out to Kev.
Oh, shit. Derek, what up, Derek? Derek in the building.
Eric, yes, sir.
Yep. Chaotic in the building.
Hey, now.
Kevin, doing startup draft this week. When do you consider player value currently versus best player available?
That's a thing. Mm-hmm. That's a real thing you have to consider when you're doing your startups. I think it's about philosophy. I know we talk about this, and I think we did a show maybe about a year ago or something where we're talking about startups and stuff. And it's really your philosophy. You know, how do you like to build your team? How do you, you know, do you build it by position? Do you build it by, you know, best player available? Do you build it just based on pure value? So for me, I like to balance it, especially if we're talking redraft, which I know mostly we're not. I like to build a more balanced team. One running back, one quarterback, one wide receiver, top kind of guy that I could lean on, and then figure out the rest. But if you're talking about dynasty, I think it has to be value, you know, and mix in some of the better players available. I think that has to be a little bit of a combination of both, right? You really want to mix both. Like, you want the good value and the best player available. So you kind of want to bridge the two when you're doing that. What I've done in my dynasty leagues, or what I've tried to do, especially in our subscriber league, is I try to draft some of those young studs, and then the older guys, there's still value there, like a Tyreek Hill. That's a perfect example. Like, I drafted Tyreek Hill, and then I went Olave, and then another young receiver. I think it was Jerry Jeudy at the time. I moved on from him or whatever. But that's kind of like how I think about it. Like, I'll draft that stud guy, veteran, and then go after maybe some younger studs like an Olave, Garrett Wilson, you know, guys like that.
Yeah, I mean, I like to build that, you know, that core of your team first. So those early picks, you know, I'm not necessarily looking for, you know, the older guys or, you know, Cheetah over some of the younger guys. Like, I'm trying to, you know, build for the future a little bit, and then you sprinkle in some of those other guys. So depending how the draft's going, depending who's on the board, like, you know, there's a million different ways to do it, but until like you're on the clock and you see like who's on the board, like, it's hard to just say, you know, what to do or not. Now, typically, I don't necessarily always go all out to win in the first year. So sometimes in the later rounds, I'm not taking some of the older guys, and I'm taking more of, you know, the guys that I think can gain value, because that's what you want to do, right? You want guys that can gain value once we get to the season or once the season starts. So now, like, you know, you have a profit, you can move on from them. They can go in your lineup, whatever the case is, but it all depends. That's a hard thing to just answer right off, but yeah.
Yeah. I think, and what you said is kind of the nail on the head situation, where it's, you have to see how the draft falls, especially if you're drafting in a league with either A, people that really know what they're doing, or people who don't know what they're doing. Like, crazy shit happens. Like, I remember one year, and this was a redraft, but it's a good example. We were doing a redraft, and this was the year RG3 was a rookie, and somebody took RG3 in like the first round, and we're like, bruh, settle down. So there's so many unpredictable things that happen in the draft. You kind of just have to like have a plan, then have a backup plan, and then have a backup to the backup plan, you know, so this way you're able to pivot kind of quickly.
Yeah. And when you have value, like, you can kind of do whatever you want with that value, right? I mean, I don't like buying running backs or drafting running backs, so I'll just take a bunch of wide receivers. And then sooner or later, if they're gaining some value, now I can trade them in season. Now I can trade them and make moves. So as long as you have, you know, that value on your team, you can do something with that, versus sometimes you have a player that might put points on the board for right now, but he's not necessarily that valuable or wanted. And, you know, you might not be able to do much with that guy. So.
Sure.
There's many different ways. It just depends on how you want to strategize and build. But PB Dubs in the building.
PB, that icon has still got me flabbergasted. I know you explained it last time, but
it was like Bartholomew or something.
Yeah,
like
it was some crazy shit. It still literally looks like a marshmallow or something, or some animated.
Vic went 101 in IDP. It was the year he went into jail.
It's bananas. Crazy shit happens, PB. So you feel me. You feel where I'm coming from on that one. Some more news. Right.
What other news we got going on, Hammer?
Probably the more, on a more surprising note, Mike Evans re-ups with the Bucks. I don't think a lot of people saw that coming. Now, it's a short 2-year deal. 52 mil. I think there's something like 25 plus 30 mil guaranteed, but Mike Evans re-upping in Tampa was definitely a surprise, considering that they were engaged in contract talks for quite some time, didn't come to an agreement. He became essentially a free agent. And then he ends up signing a 2-year deal with the Bucks. So I think that's really interesting. I think they're going to try and run that back again. I think they're going to sign Baker Mayfield to some sort of similar deal, 2-3 year deal, and kind of run that band back together. But very surprising to see Mike Evans kind of re-up in Tampa when you thought there were some really good fits out there. And we kind of talked about it pretty much since the Super Bowl ended, where Kansas City, if he would have went to Kansas City, we would have fucking loved that. That would have been fantastic. Mm-hmm. I don't think Kansas City's trying to spend Mike Evans money on a wide receiver. Yeah. But what do you think about Mike Evans?
Nah, I mean, it was all, like you said, like we didn't expect it. He said he wasn't going to do it. But after the season that he had, I'm guessing that they have to be signing Baker Mayfield. Like, there's, that, I don't think the there's only, any way.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only way he would have signed it. Like, I think.
I agree.
Because now he's in kind of the same situation. Like, he finished, what, top five? I think he finished, he's what, comfortable. Wide receiver five on the season.
He's got
so
a rapport with
he's going to get his target. They've got the rapport. They've got their little game plan down. So, you know, I like it for him. And he's a guy that, like, hasn't really shown much, like, signs of breaking down yet. So, like, I think he's got another at least 1-2 years where he can give you some of that top production. I mean, he hasn't been worse than, what, wide receiver, like, 15 the last how many years?
Yeah, I mean, the last year of Brady was the first year that he finished outside the top 12 since 2017. So he was full PPR. He was wide receiver 7 this year. 79 grabs, 1,250 yards, 13 tutties. Like, he's a touchdown machine. Like, I don't think that's going to change next year either. He's going to get 10-plus touchdowns next year.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be in double digits. So he is a guy that if you are contending, a guy that you want to try and get. And right now might not be the best time. Obviously, the price is up at the moment. I mean, yes, he is an older guy, so depending what you can get him for. But
he's got value, no doubt about it.
I had bought him in one of my dynasties last year, and I'm still competing, so I'm glad to have him this year. And now, again, same situation, so...
Yeah, he's still a good value. And I think a team, and we talked about this too, like, good, he was on our dynasty buys, like that older wide receiver. We had him up there, and I like obviously his profile, he's a red zone machine. Like, it's that simple. He's a touchdown machine. And as you get older, you don't lose that as much as you do other skills. So if you can be a productive in the touchdown department, that's going to keep your floor extremely, extremely high. So for Mike Evans, I think the next 2 years, he's still going to be pretty damn valuable. He's 30, but I could still see him catching 20 touchdowns over the next 2 years. If he's, if he stays in Tampa for the next 2 years, I could see 20 touchdowns in the next 2 years from Mike Evans.
Yeah, I can see that. I'm with that.
Another interesting one really quick. Go ahead.
No, I was just reading PB Dubs. They keep a guy that drafted that's Hall of Fame worthy in Tampa.
Oh, he's a Hall of Famer.
Many players. He's at least a Ring of Honor guy for them. Yeah, for sure.
Mike Evans is clearly a Hall of Famer, and I don't think there's any question about it. He's got the championship, he's got the Super Bowl ring on his belt. He's got, 10,000 plus yards. He's probably going to look at 85, 90, maybe 100 touchdowns before it's all said and done. Hall of Famer Mike Evans, easy. Michael Pittman gets the franchise tag in Indy.
Yes, he did.
So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, he's just a bona fide, like, wide receiver two with some wide receiver one upside. Like, he's a good player. I like it for him. I mean, he's staying in the same place. What does that mean for next year, or years going forward? I guess that's going to depend on what happens this year, right? I mean, so you got a healthy Anthony Richardson. We didn't see much of them together. I mean, I know in one of the games he targeted him a bunch. I think in another one he didn't. So it's hard to kind of gauge exactly how that's going to go. But he should be at least a focal point, of that offense other than A-Rich. Like, it should be, Pittman and JT, right? I mean, those are the guys you want to get the ball to. So,
yep, with a little Josh Downs sprinkled in there. Mm-hmm. To your point, though, really quick, over the first 3 weeks, Michael Pittman was targeted 34 times.
Yeah.
In the first 3 weeks, 34 targets, and he had 25 catches on 34 targets. That's pretty damn good. And Michael Pittman quietly, even with the injury to A. Rich, finished wide receiver 13 in PPR, 109 catches, 1,150 yards. The touchdowns are definitely what concerned me. And with A. Rich as his quarterback, and JT as the running back, I think his ceiling is kind of high-end wide receiver too, as a ceiling, because you got JT and you got A-Rich as a dual threat kind of running quarterback. So I would like to see his touchdowns go from 4 to like 7, and then I'd feel fantastic about his prospects. So if he has the same numbers next year, 109 catches on 156 targets for 1,152 yards, and he gets 7 touchdowns instead of 4, he's a wide receiver 1.
Yeah, that's true. That's why, I mean, I like Pittman. I like him a lot. He's just kind of just solidified in that wide receiver 2 slot.
Yep.
So what else we got going on? And are you going to, can you try and share your sleeper through here? Because I cannot.
I'm not on sleeper. I'm on my iPad. I'm on sleeper through my iPad.
Bro.
It's just easy. Like, I have a beautiful setup here. I can't help it that your setup is trash.
Oh, it's not my setup. Sleeper's bugging out on the desktop right now. Like, you can't. Oh, there is we go. It? I finally got in. I got in. Finally. All right. Jesus. It kept asking there me to do this catch a shit. And it's like, you know, you got to pretend like you're not some kind of robot. And it's like showing me pictures of microwaves and a penguin. And like.
Bro, I hate that. And if you miss one, they restart it all over again. I'm like, bro. Dalton Schultz.
Yeah.
3-year deal with the Texans.
Yes, he's in. He's
talking about
up,
Dalton.
Moving up dynasty rankings. He's got to now being on that team. You want a part of that offense. Now, I mean, just, you know, he's not going to be top 5, I don't think, but he should be solidified 10? Top 10, I think.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, solidified top 10. He should finish.
And what's interesting is we talked about Dalton Schultz a week ago, and we were kind of like, we don't know. We thought, you know, they could move on, et cetera, et cetera. So Dalton Schultz, 3-year deal with Houston. So that's really, really, that's a good deal for him and a good deal for that offense. I think it keeps that cohesiveness there. And you definitely want Dalton Schultz, you know, as your tight end 1. You could pretty much lock him in, and that'd be a solid tight end. Saquon Barkley. Did not get franchise tag. He is officially a free agent. So the bidding for Saquon Barkley should be very, very interesting. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, we've said, like, if he goes elsewhere, it's better for him, right? He's going to a better
Baltimore
regardless, right? So Dallas? I think instantly he's like a top 3 guy. Like, he can finish top 3 pretty easily with the amount of work that he's going to get, especially with these good offenses. I mean, where can he go that's like bad? I mean, Dallas, Ravens, I mean, Houston, like, he's
Houston
all on
would
squad
be interesting.
Where, like,
yeah,
he's going to be on good offenses. He's going to get the ball at the goal line. You don't have to worry about anybody else taking away, you know, work or carries. Like, he's going to be the workhorse guy. So,
I like it
a ton.
So do I. And if he goes to Baltimore, Houston's been brought up a little bit more. Dallas, obviously, because those are kind of glaring needs for those teams. But the Houston thing flying under the radar, like, that would just complete their entire offense. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, holy shit, Houston's a legitimate threat.
Yeah. Now you can't, AFC. You can't key in on, you know, you can't key in and just, you know, load the box against Barkley. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to respect the guys on the outside with Dell, with Nico, with Schultz, like.
And CJ Stroud running that operation. You love that.
Damn, I think that would be the perfect spot. And right now, Saquon is falling. Like, he's pretty good value in startup drafts. Like, you can get him very late. So,
Yep. I actually brought up Saquon going to Dallas to our compatriot Bagala, and he almost hung up the phone on me. He did not want to hear that. But yeah, there's some interesting landing spots. And we talked about the running back kind of market where you've got Josh Jacobs, you got Saquon Barkley, you got Austin Eckler, you got Derrick Henry. Like, those are 4 kind of premium names that'd be interesting to see kind of how this running back carousel, you know, shakes itself out. But yeah, Saquon, I think, is still dynamic. And I think if he's with one of those 3 offenses that we named, Baltimore, Dallas, or Houston, he's going to be awesome.
For sure. So I like it. And he's, you know, like I said, he's decently cheap too. What other news we got going on? I'm going to bring up the rookie draft. I'm going to send out the link so anybody can get in. We'll do a rookie draft. We'll talk about the combine and stuff. But go ahead. What else we got going on, Hammer?
A couple of things I've been hearing as well. Kirk Cousins to Atlanta is heating up.
I did hear that too.
That would be pretty interesting. And it's interesting with the quarterback situation, because one situation affects the next, right? Like the free agency is going to happen. So if Kirk Cousins goes to Atlanta, where does Justin Fields go? Pittsburgh? But Pittsburgh saying they're good. Like, they don't want Russell Wilson. They're not really trying to trade for Justin Fields. They're going to roll with Kenny Pickett. So where does Justin Fields land? I think the Atlanta thing was very interesting. So, but it seems like Kirk Cousins to Atlanta is heating up. And if you got Russell Wilson going to Vegas, you know, hypothetically, for the sake of this argument, where does that leave Justin Fields?
Yeah, I mean, maybe Pittsburgh does go after him at that point, just because, like, if other things happen and spots get filled, like, cheaper and cheaper, kind of, at that point. Like, there's not really a necessity. There's not a market out there for him, which apparently is kind of what's happening right now.
That's what's happening.
But, like, there's not enough, you know, they don't know, GMs don't know what they want to do right now. And, yeah.
Yeah, so that's that. It's all correlated. And then, obviously, teams that are at the top have draft picks, so they're going to draft one of five or six quarterbacks potentially.
I don't know if you're going to be able to get a quarterback or not. Exactly. So there's still time for that, where you don't know what you're doing yet. So, yeah, I mean, it's a lot. It's rough. What other news we got? Did you get in this mock so I can send out the link?
Hold on. That's pretty much all I got for now. There were some other minor deals, like some minor guys getting released, some minor guys getting franchise tagged. Let's see. All right, I'll jump in. All right, I'm in.
All right, guys, I'm going to post a link in the chat, so hop in. We'll fill it up in here. I posted it already in... already posted it in Discord. I'm going to send it out there first, always. So if you want to get first dibs on it, join the Discord, which should be in the description. If it's not, I'll put it in there. But hop in. But yeah, I mean, we had the combine, right? A lot of things happen. A lot of guys are moving up. I mean, we saw Xavier Worthy break their record, run a 4.21 now. To be fair, I mean, we already knew this guy was extremely fast. So it doesn't really, like, change much about anything, but at least for me. But I mean, he did fucking break the record. So
I saw him in a mock draft going 32 to Kansas City in a recent mock draft. So
yeah, I don't know if he gets it. Does he get into the back end of the first round with that now? I mean, you know how the NFL is, right? And how these scouts are. They see the speed and automatically, like, these guys are getting jumped up the board, right? So we've seen a speed guys not work out. We've seen some speed guys that do work out. I mean, Worthy's not really just a – he's not like a deep burner. He doesn't just run the go route. So, like, I'm not necessarily worried about that. But does he get stuck in a situation or go to a team where he just becomes that kind of, like, gadgety-ish type guy? I don't know necessarily, depending how high he gets drafted or where he goes. Like, but I mean, I do like him. I feel pretty comfortable with him. He's in, like, a large, like, tier two-ish that I have. We saw Brian Thomas run a 4.33. Which was, I didn't expect him to run that fast. Even Adonai Mitchell was at 4.34, which I didn't expect him to run that fast. And then Louisville, what's his name? Isaac, however you say his last name, Grendo, came out of nowhere and just absolutely destroyed the combine. But yeah, guys, get in the, I think I posted it, did I put it in there? Jump in the rookie draft. I'm going to post it on Instagram quick, too.
Seahawks cut Jamal Adams.
I saw that.
It's interesting. There's all these type of cap casualties, you know, teams restructuring contracts, doing all that stuff to get under the cap.
Let's look at some of the other. So Troy Franklin ran a 4.41 and people were a little upset about it. It didn't really bother me that much, but his gauntlet was fucking horrible. Did you watch any of the combine at all?
No, I normally don't watch the combine. I normally get the I watch the NFL Live stuff. I watch the SportsCenter stuff. I'm not a big fan of it. I think it's a little overrated in a sense because you can have guys that don't do well at the combine, but if you look at their film, they're fantastic and vice versa. So I'm not a big combine kind of guy. I'm more of a game tape and preseason type guy, preseason to a lesser degree, but I want to see live action, right? Where guys are running in your face and you have to make contested catches and you have to make throws in traffic. So I'm kind of that type of guy because, listen, how many guys have gone out there? Like Puka is a perfect example. You know what I mean? Like some guys just don't light up the combine. You know what I mean? But if they find themselves in the right situation with, you know, a good, stable organization, they can be just fine. So not a huge combine guy. I made that kind of clear last year when you were talking about all this combine nonsense. And
it is a small grade of kind of, you know, how you look at things, but it does tell us a few things.
Your physical tools, I get it. But
like we saw like Keon Coleman not run the greatest 40 yard dash, right? Mm-hmm. What was he, 4.6 or where the hell is he at over here? Not run the greatest 40 yard dash, but when he did the gauntlet, like he was one of the fastest guys running through that, you know, and catching the football. So, and then when you look at, you know, Troy Franklin, when he did the gauntlet, it was horrible. He was not running in a straight line. He was like zigzagging his whole way, you know, kind of through that. But you don't see that like when you watch the tape or when you watch him on film necessarily. So like it's, you know, some of the things like it is hard to, you know, to try and
quantify. Yeah.
You know, and quantifying all that. But yeah, Keon Coleman was a 4.61, but he was one of the fastest guys that was running through, through the gauntlet.
So PB put a comment in there, and I pull that up really quick. The combine should only confirm or deny your bias, not create it.
Yeah,
that's the exact way to put it. Mm-hmm. And I think we're just, especially us junkies and us that love football and can't get enough of it, and we need to make an event out of every event. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And I think sometimes we read into things, we, you know, go through it with a fine tooth comb, and, you know, it's understandable. I get it. I've just never been one of those guys. And like I said, I think PB kind of summed it up perfectly. And yeah, man, I just, you know, draft situation, right? What team drafts you? Who's your offensive coordinator? Who are the weapons around you? How does your game tape look when you played against good competition? You know, all those different things are factors for me. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you look in the preseason? I don't hold the preseason, you know, sacrosanct, but I like to see guys be able to go out there and look competent in real live action. I guess that's the best way to put it. So
I mean, Keon didn't really disappoint. I mean, I guess it was the 40 that he ran, like, wasn't kind of what we expected, but he is fast on the field. He just didn't run a great 40. I mean, we saw him literally, you know, run through the gauntlet like nobody else, you know, kind of ran through it. So, you know, I'm not really too worried about him. I mean, if anything, it's kind of a good thing because he's going to fall a little bit. People are going to have a little bit of that, you know, that negative on him. But I'm not necessarily worried in that sense. But I mean, just as a prospect in general, he's kind of one of those hit or miss guys. He's just one of those raw athletes that, the NFL and us fantasy players now, especially, like, we have no patience for. You know, we're not waiting 3 years for a guy to break out anymore. That's not how we do it. You know, that's not how it's been lately. So, like, a lot has changed. It used to take 3-4 years, right? It used to be that third year that, you know, guys break out, they're able to develop a little bit. We don't really give them that chance right now. You know, QJ, no, same, you get kind
basically
of thing,
a raw, half a season,
a raw project, but we expected that coming in. We knew that he was going to be a project,
and when it happened, people were still pissed off.
We're already saying that he's a bust when, first of all, they weren't even using him in the right context in the right way. So there's a lot that kind of, you know, that kind of goes into it. So
for sure.
But yeah, guys, I threw the link out there again. Hop in the rookie draft. There's 22 people in here. I know we can get another 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 more guys or gals. You know,
or gals. Come on, don't be biased. Gals watch football too.
I didn't. Can't measure someone's heart. Yeah. Yeah. Interviews, personalities. That's true too. That's true too.
There's, and I think something, Isaac, you putting in there is something that, like, I wholeheartedly agree with, is like a guy's work ethic, right? A guy's, you know, understanding and being able to recognize coverages, right? All the classroom stuff, right? What's upstairs, what's in the brain. Like, a lot of people have had physical tools. And, like, the physical tools, don't get me wrong, I'm not poo-pooing it, I'm not shutting it down, but I just think we make a little too much of it. And even NFL teams, I think, sometimes, too, make a little too much of it, as opposed to weighing it out in its proper perspective. I think physical tools make, you know, especially combine-type stuff, that's what I'm referring to. For me, that's a 10% weight in the grand scheme of things. Right. You could put understanding in classroom of coverages, 15-20%, the team you get drafted to, your work ethic, like you said, the intangibles. Isaac put in there as well, someone's heart, desire to get better, to be coachable. Right. We have a lot of these athletes now. And I think something that's not talked about as well, where especially with the way college football is changing, a lot of these guys already consider themselves pros before they even get to the pros. So your ego at the door before you even get onto an NFL field, like, especially, you know, high draft picks, first round, etc., where they're like, well, I'm the man already. I was the man in college, so treat me like I'm the man. You know what I mean? So, like, all those different things is something that I look at, especially when you're talking about these really, really high draft picks, you know, up there in the top 10, top 12.
Which kind of, you know, when you're speaking of that, like, Caleb not really doing anything, but he was there. Like, he was with the guys. Like, it kind of means a little bit something where some of the other guys weren't there. And then you have Odunze, who stayed fucking late. I don't know if did you see all that? Like, him staying late to try and do the, what was he doing? The 3-cone, I think, or whatever it was, trying to, you know, go over and over and beat the record, and, you know, him staying late, like, a lot of that caught a lot of people's eyes as well. So
I think the thing with Caleb is he's the consensus number one. So he has a lot more to lose than gain. Right. So I from Caleb's perspective, a lot of people make a big deal about it. I'm not going to make a big deal about it because Caleb has a lot more to lose, where a guy like JJ McCarthy has a lot more to gain. So their situations are completely different on why they're out there doing their thing. And we've seen this year after year after year. People make a big deal about these consensus top, you know, starting guys that don't throw at the combine or don't do certain things at the combine. It's like, bro, what do I have to gain here? I have everything to lose. There's nothing for me to gain.
We still need a few more. Come on, there's 23 people in here. 1, 2, 3, 4. We need 5 more. Come on, hop in and let's get this started. 12-team Superflex have picks 105, 107 with a trade on the table to get the 106 for Ayuk. You get the 106 for Ayuk, okay. There is a very high chance that both May and Daniels will be there at 105. What's your thoughts on the deal? So you want to trade the 106, or you want to trade Ayuk for the 106, basically. And you already have the 105.
And 107.
And the 107.
So we need to get 3 in a row in the super flex. That's a solid haul.
I'll take the 106 for Ayuk. I'll take the pick.
I think I'm doing that as well.
So give me the pick, and you don't necessarily even have to make it. That's, you know, it's just going to keep gaining value till we get there.
Yeah.
So,
oh yeah.
Which is going to be probably more valuable than Ayuk is going to be. So yeah, so I would definitely take the pick, and then you know, see what you can do with that.
So in his next thing, he said his quarterbacks are Watson and Daniel Jones. Listen, you could package that 105, 106, 107, and move up if you want to the 103. If you really want, or the 102 potentially, right?
Well, he's saying there's a high chance that both May and Daniels are going to be there at 105. Now, obviously, it's so early, we don't know what's going to happen yet. But
that's interesting.
I mean, it could be.
I wouldn't bank on that.
Maybe those teams have QBs, you know. So see how it plays out. But I don't know if you have anything else that you can package to kind of, you know, maybe move up into the top three. But you at least got 105, 106, 107. You can decide who you want. Yep. You know, who you want at that point. But
yeah, you got the assets and the ammunition to kind of move where you want to move.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Let's talk about some of these guys that were here. Let's see. Harrison didn't do anything. Daniels didn't. Neighbors, Bowers, Troy Flanken, we talked about. Brian Thomas pretty much cemented himself, at least for me, as a wide receiver four. Right after the big three, I think he's definitely the next guy up. McCarthy was like, mm-hmm. He was okay, but the NFL really likes McCarthy for whatever reason. So it seems like he's going to be a pretty high pick. We'll see what happens with Bo Nix and Michael Penix, who threw the ball pretty well at the combine. So, you know, these guys could be in the back end of the first. It could be middle first. It could go higher. I don't know how the NFL is going to react to that. We're going to have to see. Keon Coleman, we talked about. Worthy, we talked about. Adonai Mitchell turned a lot of heads. He's moved up. You know, he could be possibly a first-round pick now. He moved really good and was a lot faster than I thought that he actually was. Trey Benson, he seems like he's going to be the three-down dude. Like, the only thing with Trey Benson is, like, he hasn't rushed, like, over 1,000 yards yet. And it's like, okay, why? Like, he seems like really good, but that's the only kind of little red flag I have on him. Where the Giants are going to move on from Daniel Jones. I saw a little report for that as well.
I did see that as well. So that's why, Isaac, I don't know if you had just popped in, but when I was listening to the Michael Kay show, they formulated a whole plan going into this offseason for the Giants, and I'll just reiterate it pretty quickly, where the Giants signed Russell Wilson for the veteran minimum, $1 million. Russell Wilson's a starter. They go pick up Odunize at the 106, and then they move, maybe they move into the back end of the first round and take a Bo Nix or a J.J. McCarthy or a Penix. You know, and roll with it from there, because I heard they're absolutely done with Daniel Jones as well. I did hear that. Which, like you said, shouldn't surprise us.
Who else we got here? Blake Corum. I mean, he was good. Nothing crazy. Braylon Allen. Okay. Devontae Walker. He actually had a pretty good showing. Shipley is interesting. I don't know what's going to happen with Shipley. Bucky Irving was not as fast as everybody thought he was. But when you turn on the tape, I mean, he's pretty quick. I think he's going to have a decent role in the NFL. I don't have him as high as I kind of originally had him. Jalen Polk I like a lot, as well as McMillan. I have them really close together. Leggett looked like a monster out there. Only one like real solid, only like one solid season of production, but he's a guy that's big enough and fast enough. He could do some work. Estime ran extremely slow, but we kind of knew that coming in. That's really the kind of thing that's holding him back. He's kind of more of he got to find himself a little goal line back. QB that draft better come in bubble wrap. Yeah.
That is a big deal for the Giants offensive line did get a little bit better throughout the course of the season. I know they signed I think it was Justin Pugh off the streets, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But they gotta start somewhere, because that situation's a mess, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, I think doesn't it feel like that run they had 2 years ago was like a distant memory, like almost ancient history, it feels like, based on what we saw last year.
For sure. Guys, we got 23 eyes watching. First off, smash the thumbs up if you haven't already. Appreciate you. And second off, hop in here. We've still got a few spots left so we can kick this off. Otherwise, I'm going to make picks.
he's itching.
Let's see. Marshawn Lloyd was what? Johnny Wilson ran extremely faster than I thought he would. This guy's like a freak of nature out there. They were saying he could possibly move to tight end, but I don't, not moving like that.
Mm-hmm. Brendan Rice. 37. Damn.
Jerry Rice's son. I mean, he had a good combine too, but he's just not valued as high as some of the other guys. Like, Thrash was okay. I mean,
wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as 1 day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
I probably should have separated this into running backs and wide receivers. Yeah, I don't have a sleeper account. Is it easy to sign up? You want me to try?
Yes, very easy. Yeah, I was looking to sort it, like sort the wide receivers, sort the get your shit together.
Shut your mouth. All right, I'll put an RB and I'll put a wide receiver for you.
Thank you, sir. Boom.
Is that easier? All right, we need 1, 2, 3. Come on, 4 more. Let's go. 4 more. Hop.
Yeah.
I don't have a sleeper account. Yeah, it's easy.
Wait a minute, Isaac. You're one of the OGs in here. You're not on sleeper, dude.
You gotta be on sleeper, Isaac.
That's what I'm saying. I'm starting to question some things, Isaac.
I mean, sign up real quick and hop in. Click the link. It should probably take you right to it. Saquon, these nuts. Yeah, I mean, like, not a ton moved in the draft, like running back wise, wide receiver wise, like a little bit running back wise, wide receiver wise, not much. I mean, a lot of these guys like did well. Like, there wasn't, you know, McDonkey was good. Malik Washington is a guy that I like a lot down here. Javon Baker. You got McCaffrey's brother. Luke. There's Isaac down here. They don't have a ton of guys even on here. Oh, he's doing ESPN at CBS, he said. PB Dub says he's on sleeper. He's working right now. Set the cue, bruh.
Set the cue.
Set the cue, bruh. I'll try and get my rookie wide receiver and running back rankings going this way. At least we can go over that. Wide receivers, we have to do. I actually set it up, but we'll go over actual wide receivers next week, and then I'll go over kind of rookie rankings after that.
I like it.
For the next 2 weeks. And I'll probably just wind up making these picks here, if anything, within the next couple minutes. Yeah, good. If you do a dynasty league, yeah, do it on Sleeper. It's like the easiest and best way to do it.
Sleeper was very weird for me when I first started with it, but once you kind of get the interface and learn how to navigate it, it's fantastic.
Right.
You've had enough?
Come on, guys. Get in. There's a couple spots left. Otherwise, I'm going to just make the picks and we'll just talk about it and run through it. Let me randomize this bad boy.
Do it.
Saquon, these nuts. You're about to be on the clock. Now, typically, it's going to be either Caleb or it's going to be Marv. You know, it is super flex, so Caleb is kind of the way that you probably should go, unless you have a QB room that's kind of set up already. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with taking Marv over Caleb if you have to. If you can't kind of, you know, slide back or anything, I'm fine with doing that. So, I mean, at two, like, yeah, I'll go Marv. Hammers over here at three.
So this is really interesting, you know, and this all depends on basically where your team is, right? If you need a wide receiver, you're taking Neighbors, and that's exactly where I'm going to go. Now, I could go Jaden Daniels because I do think he has a good dual threat, but my quarterback rooms are usually pretty solid, so I'll go Neighbors. Ooh.
What if he goes to Atlanta?
Then there's an argument to be made, but just for the sake of, you know, playing devil's advocate. Now in the super flex, obviously.
Dunze goes right after. Okay. Then we got Daniels. Okay, we'll auto pick these. Jonah Bro. Drake May. And then there you go. So Troy Franklin, Brian Thomas. For me, like, those are kind of the next guys up. Diaz on the clock. Who does Diaz like? Like, you know, it's hard to say, like, when do the QBs go? Like, when do you go, you know, McCarthy? Like, I was just going to say, Diaz, you pretty much have to, like, that's really the spot right mm-hmm. there. And it used to be, like, one, you know, until the 1-7, like, you was kind of that cutoff point at first. And now that we've kind of had the combine, we've extended that a little bit to the 1-8, the 1-9, adding in, like, a McCarthy and Brian Thomas kind of cemented himself kind of up there. And you still mm-hmm. got the Brock Bowers. So, like, you could that argue, in, yep. you know, Troy Franklin is really the guy that's been falling lately. So, Brian Thomas is usually going a little bit earlier. And then you got Bowers, you got McCarthy. So,
and that's, and to go to your point really quick, like, it makes those, and I know we just had, I forgot who it was in here. I think it was Madden. Madden, you know, has the 105, 106, 107. So in this draft, he would have had, you know, his pick of Jaden Daniels, Drake May, you know, JJ McCarthy, probably not getting a wide receiver. So, you know, that's kind of, you know, what he was saying about some of those quarterbacks would be available. So you really have to kind of read the room and see where things kind of shake out.
See where he goes in the back of the first and Coleman. Which Coleman's kind of been falling a little bit. You think JD5 can be as good as Stroud? PB Dub said, yes, he does.
Situational, man.
I don't know if he can be as good as Stroud. I mean, you have the rushing upside. So he's not Stroud as in, like, as a passer or, like, the same, like, style of play, I would say, but
agreed.
You know, can he be as good as far as, you know, scoring fantasy points? Yeah, I think so. You could argue even better because of the rushing upside.
That's exactly where I was going to go with that.
So if you're talking about ceiling, you know, same thing like Anthony Richardson, but the way that these guys play, the style of play, like we talked about mm-hmm. last week with Justin Fields, is a problem. It is something to think about because these guys don't make it through the season. They're not there for you when you need them.
And you know? he's like a slight dude. Like, he's a slim guy. I think he was like 185 or something, like 6'4", 185. So, you know.
Adonai Mitchell goes next. I went with Ladd. It was either between Ladd or start taking some running backs possibly for me. Or I could have went with Bo Nix. I think Bo Nix at some point should probably go here.
I was looking at Nix as well.
And you could argue Penix too. Like, where do those guys go? It's so hard to tell because, you know, they weren't necessarily, we weren't really thinking about them as first round picks. And now all of a sudden it's like they possibly may be.
Mm-hmm.
So Benson, Corum, and Brooks. Yep. Corum, I don't have as high, but he's not. He's a guy that he has some potential. He's just got to find himself in the right spot.
And I think running backs too, like, you know, unless you're a Bijan, and we even saw like last year with Jesus, why is his name fucking slipping? The Lions running back.
Why? Gibbs.
Gibbs, right? Like, Gibbs didn't burst onto the scene right away, right? It took essentially a David Montgomery injury for him to really get rolling. So, you know, a lot of these running backs, they're not just going to come in and go nuts right away, especially if they find themselves, you know, in essentially a split or even less than a split.
I think nowadays that's what we're looking. That's what we're looking for, the running back position. We want somebody that's going to get
an opportunity.
Or get high value touches, just get that, you know, get that opportunity, which is why a lot of these RB2s are just becoming more and more valuable. These pass catchers, these guys that can get some touches and, you know, do things with it. I mean, in this particular class, like, there's not really, they're saying Trey Benson, they're like comparing a little bit to Breece Hall. Hold on, I got to make a pick here. That was,
it's fast. I think some people put the QE in.
Yeah, that's all right. I mean, I gotta go with my guy Leggett. What was I saying? The running backs. Yeah, we're just looking for these RB2s now, these guys that are gonna be getting a role somewhere, because in this particular class, there's not, like, maybe Benson, Brooks, and maybe Allen. But Allen's more of a, like, they compare him to like Derrick Henry a little bit. We don't know how fast he is yet because he didn't run the 40. He'll do that at the pro day, but he's more of like a bulldozer type guy. But Brooks can be a three down guy, and I think Benson can be like a three down guy. But I don't know if the NFL is necessarily going to be, you know, doing that, because they're not, like, they don't have the Saquon pedigree, the Bijan pedigree. You know, a lot of these guys are just going to be part of some kind of backfields, and they'll be getting work. Now, who's going to be the most valuable one? That's all going to depend, because it, more than ever, like, the running backs, it really depends on where you're going, you know, the scheme that they're running. There's a lot more that goes into it, especially at the running back position.
For sure.
But I think that, you know, a lot of these second round picks have increased. Third round picks now have increased in value. Like, you want these picks now, where originally you didn't want them. Now, you know, now you want these picks. I mean, Leggett in the third, even Roman Wilson, like, these are good picks. Now, the draft is going to tell us a little, you know, the rest of the information. Like, a lot of these wide receivers are good, but let's be honest, how many guys are going to finish in the top 12 in fantasy? There can only be 12 guys, and there's a shit ton of really good fucking guys out there. So
already established,
you
know, guys.
Even top 24, top 36, like, realistically, how many of these guys are going to finish there? Like, you know, it's going to be a low percentage.
For sure, but I think, listen, if, say, Malik Nabers goes to the Giants and, say, Adunze goes to the Bears, right? Let's just hypothetical that.
I'm not worried about those guys. It's more of like the, you know, the second round guys, the third round guys that we're picking here. I don't have really any worries about the top three guys, well, or Brian Thomas, or necessarily Troy Franklin. I'm pretty comfortable with those guys being okay. I think you've got at least like wide receiver twos there.
Well, yeah, I think, I mean, the one guy I think that...
Julian McConkey, too. My bad, go ahead.
Remember, bro, like, we have all these established guys out there. Like, all these established guys out there. That's what I'm saying. So for any of these guys to crack the top 12, even a Marvin Harrison to crack the top 12, I think is going to be difficult. You know what I mean? So that just kind of furthers your point where you're looking for, like you said, a 13 to 24, where if I can get that range in year one, now you're cooking with something. Because you're talking about 1,000 yards, 70 catches, roughly. Remember, we're playing 17 games now. So 70 catches for around 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns. Something in that range.
Now, how, what's his name is still up here? Oh, Ray Davis is still up here, too. Guerrero is still up here. I'm not sure. He's an interesting guy because even though we tested off the charts, he's got like literally like no college production. We'll take him here, but I really wanted to take McMillan. I have McMillan higher than some of these other guys. Pearsall is a dude. I really like Pearsall. I think he's a sleeper. Roman Wilson, I think, is a big sleeper. I think like just a lot of the stuff that happened at the combine kind of overshadowed kind of what he did. I think he's a very solid guy. Milton could throw the ball a fucking mile. But not really great at any everything else. Marshawn Lloyd did his thing. Imagine Saquon goes to Houston, yeah, or the Chargers. That's what we were talking about earlier a little bit.
Chargers are interesting. Like I didn't hear a ton about. I haven't heard a ton out of the Chargers. Obviously, after they got Harbaugh.
Oh, Hammer! How you got my boys both Polk and McMillan?
You had a chance to get them. Like
I did, but I think I have like Leggett. I have Leggett like a little bit higher than Polk. And Polk and McMillan are almost like back to back for me. Like I like them. I like them a lot. I like both of those guys. Both of those guys were able to put up, you know, numbers. And Polk wound up getting hurt, actually.
Man, I'm so excited for the draft.
I mean, McMillan wound up getting hurt. He looked a little smooth, but I mean, nothing crazy. Like nothing crazy stood out at the combine, but a lot of guys did well. I mean, not a lot of people kind of were crazy losers, at least for me. I mean, you know, Bucky, you could argue, Keon, you could argue. But yeah, I mean, that pretty much wraps it up there.
So we basically got 7 weeks to the draft.
Yeah, it's just interesting that's, you know, what's going to happen at the end, you know, the back end of that draft where it's like, you know, after the top 6 or 7.
I like would say
after a nice like sweet spot after that where there's like a big tier of guys where you can kind of like
good,
you know,
value
who you choose. But you know, there is going to be value in the second rounds, in the third rounds, like you know, you see here. And obviously we don't know the landing spot, so we're kind of just picking off of, you know, what we feel about them or how they tested. So, you know, once landing spots and the draft capital comes into play, we'll have a little bit of a clearer picture of what's happening. But
I think that just furthers the point that, you know, was brought up earlier in the show, is that, like, to your point, like 106 is Drake May, right? That's kind of like, we kind of have those six kind of locked in: Caleb, Marvin Harrison, Neighbors, Odunize, Daniels, and May. You can pretty much lock those six in right there. And then after that, you're still getting good value even through the back end and even into the second round.
Mm-hmm. Even to the third or the fourth, I mean, you're getting running backs. Like, there's running backs all over. Like, you know, Ray Davis, Guerrero, these guys are going late. Like, these guys are going to be wound up getting playing time somewhere. We know how the running back position is.
Oh,
and it could be right only for a few games. It could be only for one season. That's all we're looking for, really, you know, anyway. Because, you know, let's just be honest. Not all these wide receivers are going to be top 24, top 36 guys, right? It's impossible.
Yep.
you know, at least right off the bat anyway. But a lot of these guys can play, but we'll see what kind of situations they wind up going to. But yeah, we've got the draft, the actual NFL draft coming up. We've got how many, what'd you say? 7 weeks?
Roughly. Yeah. April 25th.
Roughly 7 weeks or so.
And that's going to go by incredibly fast. But also remember, we still
first
got
first night is always so awesome because it's like so it, much shit yeah. happens, like so much trades or, you know, and then the guys that are getting picked, like.
And we also have free agency coming up in about 2 weeks.
And when you've got teams like the Bills or the Chiefs that are picking in the back end of the first, where there's going to be guys available like Troy Franklin and Worthy and, you know, McConkey and Adonai Mitchell, like, you know, are one of these teams grabbing one of these guys? We can also see some of these guys like not get as great draft capital as we might want them to, or as they should, because of the depth at the wide receiver position also, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe the teams wind up picking, you know, linemen or defense or offense, you know, other offensive pieces instead of going wide receiver, because they know they can wait a little bit because of how deep kind of the wide receiver class is. So, you know, I know originally we said like that the running back class was weak, and like it is weak as far as there's no like bona fide
compared like to previous top end, years, yeah.
you know, top dude, but it's kind of deep in a sense where like a lot of these guys are like, they're going to find themselves getting like a role somehow. There's a lot of like pass catchers, you know, pass catching running backs out there. So did what's his name not get picked? Jalen Wright didn't get picked. Did we miss that? Was he just not on there? Or I guess we missed it.
No, he didn't get picked.
I mean, he had a fucking, he had a good combine too, but we kind of expected that. He was a guy that I liked. At least he was a guy that his game translates like to the NFL level. Frank Gore Jr. Yeah, I don't know about Frank Gore Jr. I mean, what are the Bears going to do? They're going to pick Caleb. That's what they're going to do.
They have to at this point. I've even heard some people whispering that Jaden Daniels should leapfrog Caleb as the 101. Thoughts?
I don't think we could do that. I think we're bugging a little bit by doing that. I mean, listen, Jaden Daniels is good, but he is a, you know, he doesn't have much weight to him. Like, he's a skinnier dude. He's not going to be able to just kind of, you know, run everywhere. He's got an awesome deep ball. Like, he throws a deep ball really, really well. But he's not Caleb. You know, he's not Caleb. And I know Caleb had a, you know, a little bit of a down year, I guess you could say, this year. And there's a lot of question marks and things about like what he said and things coming from his camp and his dad and all that kind of shit. But, you know, you kind of got to see a little bit more of kind of who he was like at the combine a little bit, even though he didn't really perform. But, you know, it was a good way to see him, you know, to see him in that light, I guess you could say, you know, just kind of being around the dudes and stuff like that. Is, I know it's not like it means a whole ton, but it does mean a little bit. It does hold some weight, especially to the, you know, to the scouts of the NFL and the teams and stuff. So, you know, how much of a leader that you are. So.
Yeah, it does. And some of those teams, you know, every team values something differently, right? Like, some teams may value pure athleticism. Some teams may value how you are in the classroom. Sometimes some teams may value how you do in the interview, right? They make a big deal about the interview, the Wonderlic score, which I put in very little stock into. I know you gave us some crazy stat last year about CJ Stroud's Wonderlic score. You remember that shit?
No. It wasn't the Wonderlic. That was
It was some test.
That was the the cognitive test. You know, now they're like eliminating it. Like, guys are like, nah, fuck that. We're not even taking that shit.
CJ Stroud, you know, eliminated.
He basically eliminated that.
Right. Garbage. So
he probably did it on purpose too.
I mean, he still got picked number two overall, so it didn't really hurt him at all in one rookie of the year. So, you know, but yeah, teams value things differently. And the organization, man, like, I'm a big proponent of, you could be the most talented guy in the world. If you go to the wrong organization, like, if you're a quarterback going to the Bears, historically, that's not good. If you're a wide receiver going to the Patriots, historically, that's not good, right? And on the flip side, if you're a quarterback that goes to the Packers, you're historically good in the last 30 years. Like, so, you know, there are certain things that teams do well and certain things that teams don't do well. And for me, that matters a ton. Like, if Marvin Harrison now, if he goes to the Patriots, I still think he'll be good, but it would give me a little cause to pause just because of the historical, you know, significance. And the Caleb Williams thing to Chicago makes me nervous. They have not been a well-run organization, particularly drafting and developing quarterbacks. So make of that what you will.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully the talent just kind of prevails if they're able to get another wide receiver. I mean,
yeah, I mean, I said this before, and I'm not a Bears fan, but I think this is an important kind of franchise altering next 2 months for the Chicago Bears, right? Because they have to essentially trade Justin Fields, get some value there, maybe get a second round pick. They have the 101 and the 109. Like, that is franchise altering stuff. Where if they don't get this right, they're going to be set. They're going to be back to the Stone Age for the Bears. Like, it's virtually that simple for me, you know? So Bears can really set themselves up nicely or fuck it up like they usually do.
Yeah. That is true. What am I fucking Vikings going to do? I don't know. Now there's apparently bullshit. Yeah. There's some trade rumor going around of Jefferson to the Patriots and us taking that pick and getting a quarterback. Like, nah, that don't make sense. Why the fuck would we do that?
That's just dumb as fuck. Yeah, the Vikings are in a really good situation. But
listen, if we can't get Kirk, because Kirk wants the guaranteed money, and we're like, nah, bro, chill. Like,
at 35 years old,
getting ancient right now, coming off the injury, just fucking sign the contract and just fucking don't get hurt, bro. The fuck? You don't need guaranteed money, but he's always had guaranteed money is the fucking problem. Like,
he plays the market right. Not,
you know?
And, he plays the market right, but...
So, like, if we can't get Kirk, I mean, we might not be able to pay up to get one of the top quarterbacks. Do we wait and take a McCarthy or Nix if one of those guys fall? You know, or...
Where are you guys picking?
Like, what do we do? Do 13? We sign? Do we sign Russell? Do we sign Russell? Like,
I don't know if I like that.
If we can't sign Kirk, we can't move up in the draft.
Maybe.
I mean, sign Russell and Russell's still take a quarterback?
Russell's not going to cost you a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So I'm on this mock draft right now, and Vikings at 11 got J.J. McCarthy. But do they sign Russell Wilson and then draft J.J. McCarthy? Do they need to help on defense? Like,
I mean, our defense was better than I expected last year, but
they're in a weird
spot. I don't want to waste it on McCarthy. Like, I think McCarthy's okay. I just don't think he's, like, great or going to, like, you know, carry the team. Like, he'd have to be, like, a really awesome game manager. I don't know.
With the talent that's around him, I don't think he would have to go be that.
That's the
thing.
Could
be Brock Purdy. If he's Brock Purdy with the weapons in Minnesota offensively, are you cool with that?
Can he handle that? Can he do that? I would hope so, but.
But that's not going to get you to the next level, though. You know what I mean? Like, you want that game changer at that. And listen, every team wants a game changer at quarterback, but. For the Vikings specific situation, if you have a TJ Hockenson, a Justin Jefferson, a Jordan Addison,
I just want somebody that's going to elevate that. Honestly, I think I'd rather have Penix. Just like the way he slings it. And he's got obviously issues.
I'm mad at that.
You know, we've got injury issues, knee issues, like. We've got red flags as far as injuries are concerned, but.
Right.
I mean, the guy can play. The guy can throw the ball. And like you said, with weapons around, I mean, if he's a, you know, if he can be a Tua-ish type.
Tua's pretty damn good. You
know, Trey Lance to the Vikings. I'll take it. Let's roll. How about Minshew?
Wouldn't have to give up much.
I think at this point in his career, like, we know that Minshew isn't like a franchise guy, but he's a good second guy to have, a good guy that can kind of keep you in contention to possibly make the playoffs. Like, he can sling it a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, did you hear Kelsey's speech?
I did. Talking about, I remember, I'm overrated.
And then he was talking about, you know, the biggest dick on the team, fucking Nick Foles.
From when he won the
Super Bowl. You didn't hear that part?
No, I just heard like snippets. He said, like, I'm overrated, blah, blah, blah. And then he started crying. What did he say about Nick Foles?
I can't remember. He said something about Big Dick Nick. He was talking about the Super Bowl. He was talking about the Super Bowl and all that. And he's like, you know, Big Dick Nick, the biggest dick on, you know, the biggest dick on the team, went over and said, let's run the Philly special. And then,
and it happened. You know,
coach had the biggest balls on the team. And he's like, all right.
Boom. Match made in heaven.
Shit.
Yeah, that's going to be
Whatever QB is that in that system slinging it. Yeah, I mean.
But you need the capability. Need
somebody decent, you know.
What would you say, in your best estimation, is the odds of Kirk coming back? It's not. It looked good early on. Like, I don't want to say looked good, but it was. It felt more positive that he would come back, but now it's not.
I think that he will be willing to take a discount, but he's one of those like stingy motherfucking business dudes. Like, nah, I need my guaranteed shit. Like, I could just go to fucking Atlanta and play with that team. Like, they're a good team. They're just as good as y'all. So, and in his eyes, like, I'm thinking, like, okay, like that. But he also is kind of a loyal-ish type dude. Like, he's got to move his whole family. But apparently, I think his wife used to be from there or something. Yeah. There's some kind of connection. I don't remember exactly what it was. Let me know if you know what the exact connection
there was. There was some connection.
Or anybody in the chat. But there's some kind of connection to Atlanta. With, I believe, which was his wife, but I'm not 100% sure because I kind of skimmed through the article. But yeah, I mean, you know, for him, I think he's like, all right, I got weapons either way, so it doesn't matter to me. Like, wherever the money is, that's where I'm going to go right now. Yeah. You know, because we didn't commit to him either. So at the same time, he's like, all right, like, they didn't commit. They didn't give me the contract before the season. They could have, you know, and they didn't. So,
and
you know,
maybe they played well and then got hurt.
Maybe I'm just going to be out.
And which is so crazy, right? Because, I mean, it essentially it kind of worked in the Vikings' favor from the standpoint of if he went out there and he was a top five MVP candidate, right? 4,500 yards, 38 touchdowns, which he was essentially on pace for. He was all right, slow down, Sparky, right? Like, he was. He would have commanded that, no question, right? Now there is a question because he is, you know, he had the major injury and he's 35 years old. Now I think he has good staying power at 35 years old because of his style of play. Like, he's a pocket guy. He never really had any major injuries. He was as durable as it came. You know what I mean? Pause. Where he you could virtually count on him, especially in that offense. You felt really good about it. So I'm super happy that the Vikings are a little bit in flux right now. The Bears stink, and we really just got to compete with the Lions. That's it. Right back on top, baby. Only took one season.
Yeah, it's going to be – I think it's very interesting what's going to happen with the quarterbacks now.
Oh, so, I totally agree.
We need the draft to happen. You know, we need to know what the fuck is going on.
Well, free agency comes first.
Well, that's true, too. That's
so
true too.
So all the things that I've been watching,
Ross and hearing, get you know.
Well, Kirk Cousins is the biggest prize out there. Like, Kirk Cousins is the domino, right? Because if Kirk Cousins goes to Atlanta, like I said before, where does Russell go? Most likely Vegas. But then the Justin Fields thing, right? What is the market for Justin Fields if Kirk is in Atlanta and Russ is in Vegas, hypothetically? What team actually needs a quarterback that's gonna, you know, Tennessee, Denver?
I think they're sticking with Levis.
Justin Fields to Denver.
Denver might draft a QB instead,
right? Denver's at 12. Seattle.
I think they committed to Geno, if I'm not mistaken. But it's possible they could. I mean,
there's not too many. And now now that Pittsburgh is like, we're good with Kenny Pickett, which makes no fucking sense. If I was Pittsburgh, I'd trade a second round pick for Justin Fields in a heartbeat. Like, if that was
they're trying to give him another chance. I think we've seen enough of Pickett. And we ain't never liked Pickett. I've always said, like, Pickett should have never been a first round pick. I don't think he's the future. But
you know what happened? Pickett had a ridiculous preseason this past year, and people were re-excited, and it quickly imploded. True. So I think that's kind of what happened. But I'm looking at all of these teams. Where can Justin Fields go, right? If hypothetically Atlanta and Vegas are off the table because Atlanta gets Kirk Cousins and Vegas gets Russell Wilson.
What about the Patriots? What if they decide to trade out of that pick, maybe trade back? They pick up extra assets. They're able to get Fields for like a third or whatever the fuck. Who knows?
Okay. Do you
just spitballing shit going through everybody here? Who could possibly do it?
Well, the reason why I didn't include those like Washington or New England is because they're in that 2-3 zone. Now,
New England is a weird team where they'll do some shit. They'll do something funky. Like
yeah.
They'll trade back and then just take somebody else. So that could be a possibility, but that's true. Let's see. New Orleans. I mean, I think they're just rolling with Carr, but
that's
maybe right. Tennessee's not doing it. Yeah, Denver, Vegas. I mean,
it doesn't feel
could be Denver or Vegas.
And what's interesting is like when I was first kind of when the Justin Fields thing started happening, right? I was like, damn, like there's going to be a big, you know, like Justin Fields, right? He was a top, you know, first round pick, blah, blah, blah. And then it feels like the market just dried up so quickly around him, considering what else is out there, the draft, all those things. And it's like, goddamn, when you start breaking it down, like something crazy has to happen, like New England trading out. Like that's something that crazy that has to happen for him to find a and to further that point, the Bears said that they want to get this done as soon as possible before free agency. Because if you do it after free agency, you might be fucked.
Yeah, exactly.
You're looking at the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. I did hear some rumblings of Mac Jones possibly getting traded. We'll see. We'll see what happens with that. Titans are like committing to Levis right now, but who knows? It could be a possibility.
I did bring up the Titans.
You know, well, nobody's got to pay Fields yet, so we're not worried about that yet. He's got at least one more season before they got to make a decision. And then,
Justin Fields, yeah. So Justin Fields is going into the fourth year, and then they could either pick up the fifth year option. So it's essentially 2 years will be the investment there before you have to decide what you want to do.
Mm-hmm. And then speaking of Marvin Harrison before, you were saying, like, what if he went to the Patriots? Like, but if he goes to the Cardinals, I mean, you're talking about a guy that could finish top 10. Like right off the bat, rookie season. I mean, you're talking about there's nobody there. He's walking into 150 targets. Like, you know,
I get it.
So, I mean, that would be that's the most ideal spot. That's where kind of everybody has him going.
He's pretty much pegged there.
We've seen crazy shit happen before. So,
certainly have.
We shall see. We shall see what happens.
Yeah, this is gonna be a really, really fun draft, especially at the top. And I think that because there's so many quarterbacks that are gonna go in this first round, that makes all these other guys, to your point, I think you have brought it up, even in fantasy terms, it makes all of these other guys so much more of a value that you're getting it at the 106, 107, 108, 112, 21, 22, whatever, however you want to look at it. So and even in the real NFL draft, right, you're getting good value because all these teams are trying to push, especially at the top, you know, in the top 10-ish to get these quarterbacks. And now that J.J. McCarthy has kind of elevated himself, you know, potentially in the top 10, like teams are going to get nervous and start fucking trading up. Like I could see it.
Yeah.
What are we doing with sub-league number 2? What's happening there?
You gotta set up the shit so we can get it started.
Do we
set up the payment thing? I think we have it already.
I don't want to use. I'm gonna say, are we? Do we have enough players? I was going to say, are we filled? But that would have been a major pause. Figure that out. Where the fuck is it?
Ben McBride is there. He's the number one. Yeah, I mean, when you got a guy like Marvin coming in, I mean, there's nobody else there really to take targets. So it's going to be between those two guys. But I think you'll see, you know, easily the high amount of targets for both of those guys.
We have two spots left to fill.
We got two spots left?
Two spots. All right. So if anybody wants in. You know what, Diaz? Bring that comment up right there, Diaz. Diaz appreciates me. And you know what, Diaz? We have a love-hate relationship. We're on the positive side right now.
Bro, I need Hammer to take care of certain portions of things. I do, you know, some of the other stuff behind the scenes. So Hammer does what he can do, and I appreciate that, Hammer.
Full disclosure. I just like to talk shit, and me and Diaz got some unfinished, you know, we got some weird energy, but sometimes Diaz got my back, sometimes he sells me to the wolves. Blanc handles all of the content, all that stuff. I handle the draft, the issues, all that stuff. We have a good, nice little setup going on. I handle the payments, all that nonsense. But it's nice to be appreciated, Diaz. I thank you for that.
I said I appreciate you, Hammer.
I'm the Robin. I told you, I'm not capable of being Batman.
Yes, you are. You're going to have to run the show 1 week by yourself sooner or later.
I ran the show by myself once or twice a while ago, last season.
See, Batman, bro.
See, but I'm comfortable in my lane. If I have to step out, I'm cool with that. I'm not Michael Jordan. I'm not. That's you.
All right, guys. Before we get up out of here, throw any last questions you guys got in the chat. We'll stick around for a couple minutes, answer any last questions you have before we get up out of here, but.
Yeah, guys, if you're interested in getting in that sub league number two, hit us up in the DMs. Let us know. We definitely want, you know, serious people. We definitely want people that, you know, want to grind out with us. And we're looking forward to getting. We were trying to get sub league number two up and running last year, but there was just we just couldn't get it up and running. We didn't have enough people. We were up against the clock. So, you know, if you guys are really, really interested and want to jump in with us, you know, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. You guys are like that cop duo, that one dude is that business and Steve is a comedy relief guy that accidentally solved the case.
I like that. Yeah, we got our Stockton to Malone going on here.
But yeah, we appreciate everybody that came out. We'll see y'all next week, of course.
What do we got next week? Our receiver rankings?
Next week, yeah, we'll do the wide receiver rankings for sure next week because we haven't done them. We'll do wide receiver rankings next week, and then week after that, I'll do rookies, wide receivers, and running backs. So everybody's going to want to see that, so I'll tier those up, and we'll talk about that. And then, you know, we'll just be heavily, like, you know, rookie drafts, startup drafts, and, you know, buy-sell holds. We'll talk about a bunch of different players. We got a whole bunch of shit to talk about before we get to the season. And there's shit happening every day, even still.
Yeah. Free agency's looming, so we're going to have that on the horizon. I do want to say that I do, like, if any of you guys are seriously interested in getting in this sub-league number two, you know, jump on it quickly because I, to be honest, after free agency, essentially, I kind of want to just do the draft because we do the long draft and it drives me absolutely nuts. So if we could get it done in sometime in, like, mid to late March, that would be awesome. Because I think it took us, what, like a week and a half?
Yeah, on the first sub-league. I don't think we did. Did we do it with the kickers as the rookie picks? Or
no.
We did it after that. No. So we did it after the actual NFL draft last year. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we were up against it.
All right. Guys, we out of here. Appreciate y'all. See y'all next week.
Go, Pat, go.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.